mean, even when I can't really tell you, you know, why he plays this at this point in the music, or, you know, just, it's sort of an automatic.
All right, word, man. But yeah, so let's jump right into it, man, because I feel like we got a hell of a conversation to go on in this college thing. So just took a little pivot. We're going to be moving our HBCU conversation to another episode. Reason being because of everything.
But don't feel bad, HBCU fans or schools. It's not like we don't care about y'all just as much as the UPWIs and all that. It's just we want the full complement of everyone back, people, guests, and everybody, because I feel like this is my year to learn. This is my year to deep dive, pause, into HBCU college football. So, Earl, if you hear me right now, guessing from the stands, I'm telling you, I want to learn. I want to learn who's good. I want to know who's the Georgias and the Alabamas of HBCU. Who are those top dogs? Who should I look out for? Where can I watch the games? So that's why we're taking a pause, just so we can get everybody here and we can deliver, right. You know what I'm saying, and give these schools the recognition they deserve.
Right, for sure. And there's a lot of conversation that pretty much the whole HBCU world was shook up from last December on. So I damn near feel like that's going to be its own episode in itself, but we'll see how that goes. That being said, we do have one more and one last conference to go through, and that is not one last conference. This is going to be our first conference in college football. So this obviously, again, being our kickoff, gridiron preseason show series. I just want to tell specifically y'all three, man, happy 5 years, man. We're coming up on 5 years. It'll be 5 years on August the 30th. That was when our first show dropped, August the 30th, 2018. And what I can say is it's been a hell of a ride. But this year is about the money, fellas. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I'm not even gonna lie to the people.
This is the one.
So congratulations to y'all boys. But let's work, man. Let's do what we do. And the way we're gonna celebrate is doing the work. So let's go to work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, let's get to it. The Pac-12. Now, Nar, I know some of this is going to be re-rock of what we talked about on Tuesday.
Oh, that's cool. I love college football. Let's re-rock it.
Yes. So let's kind of get into the conversation. I sent something to the group chat. There was a conversation I was watching on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week that was related to the Pac-12. And that's where our first conversation in college football is going to happen this year, is indeed in the Pac-12. Or what was the Pac-12? Because as of this year,
Pac-12 is going on this Paul Pierce farewell tour.
Yes, as of this year, the following teams are going to be leaving the Pac-12: Arizona, Colorado, USC, and UCLA will all be leaving the Pac-12. That leaves nothing more but Oregon, Washington.
No, Oregon's out, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Oregon is actually out. They are heading to.
They're going Big Ten.
They're going Big Ten as well. So, that being said, oh yeah, Oregon and Washington are out. So,
yes, sir.
That being said, that now leaves Oregon State, Washington State, Utah, and...
No, Utah's out, I think.
No, Utah's in. Oh. Utah just got there not too long ago.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so
yes, they are, bro. Arizona State, and Utah are going to the Big 12.
Okay,
damn.
So
it's getting worse by the minute.
It is definitely and well, we're getting into it. So let's just dive in. Let's dive into what happened. From the jump, and this is why the circle of what I really want to talk about is USC and UCLA fucked college football for the next 20 years. It's all their fault. It is 100% their fault. And we saw it happen in real time. Being so greedy to not trying to necessarily figure out things that would geographically make sense, but going for the dollar in a way that just flat out tore everything to shreds. Leaving for the Big Ten. I got to tell you, man, I was pretty shaken up by it. What were some of y'all thoughts on the first domino, which was USC and UCLA leaving for the Big Ten?
It definitely wasn't expected because you still had teams out there who are competitive, such as Utah, such as the Oregons and the Washingtons, all except for Utah. Oregon and Washington have both been to playoff since the initial college football playoff. USC is clearly on its way to probably reaching that milestone of getting to a college football playoff. So when you have three teams, because in reality, the SEC only has three teams who've reached the college football playoff in Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. So it's, to me, it wasn't necessarily could you make the championship or win the championship from this conference? It really came down to TV deals and money and looking at what all of these other schools that may not even be as competitive as you are making versus what you're making. USC is looking at it like, you know what I'm saying, a school like Mississippi State or a fucking Oklahoma State or a Vanderbilt are all making more money because of their conference alignment than a school like USC. And that just can't happen. But the Pac-12 doesn't have the overall aesthetics that you want to see that's going to generate East Coast money. The East Coast runs college. It really runs entertainment, period. For the, you know, say, I know the hub is in LA, but the East Coast is where the money comes from. So without them being
specifically in sports.
Exactly. So without them being able to get and generate that massive amount of interest on this side outside of diehard fans of their schools and people who are alumnus and stuff like that, it's not going to work. It worked for a while. It worked for a long while, but it wasn't going to last when the money is starting to grow as it is. The sport is starting to grow as it is. It's getting bigger because now not only could you watch it on TV, now it can be streamed. So now there's more ad revenue because now people have more access to it. And it's just, the lack of interest got too large for the Pac-12. And unfortunately, that's what happens. That's how I saw it. So what about you, Dale?
I kind of have to agree with you. I don't know. After USC's run in like the middle 2000s, we had heard absolutely nothing from the Pac-12. When it comes to football, I mean,
on a consistent basis,
I can't say that. I mean, Oregon's been a consistent team.
They've been to a college football playoff and they've been to a national championship since.
Okay, yeah,
right.
I think
two. Oregon's they've been to two national playoff. Championships.
Two, correct.
Okay, two. Because I know they lost one to Auburn when Cam
they
was
lost
there.
One to Florida State.
And they lost one to Florida State.
No, okay. They didn't lose to Florida State. Oh, no. They lost. No, they didn't. They lost to Ohio State.
You guys, that was a game where one playoff. Yeah.
No, they got to two, one playoff and one national championship since USC.
Right.
Had
so they,
that
I mean,
domination.
They didn't get to two national championships. One.
Okay. So Oregon.
No, they got the two. 2010,
three,
and then 2015.
But that was a playoff. Okay. So yeah.
I mean, either way, they still got to a national championship.
Yeah. Okay.
But that being said,
you haven't heard any, you know, real dominance or anything like sink your teeth into as the Pac-12, because like Ohio State has won a national championship for the Big Ten, and the Big Ten have all, I don't think they've ever missed the playoffs.
Maybe oh, so Oregon was in the very first playoff national championship game.
Yes, yes. Because they lost to, didn't they lose to Florida State?
No, they beat Florida State 59-20 in the semifinals.
No. They beat the hell out of Florida State. What happened?
And then they lost
Ohio State. Ohio State, right? Ended up playing Alabama, and they beat the shit out of Alabama. Yeah. And then Oregon played Florida State in the Rose Bowl, and Florida State got the ass whooped.
Yeah.
Got you.
Okay, so, but like I'm saying, though, there, and I know Washington made it 1 year, but aside from that, how many times have the they made inside of the playoffs, and how much time?
No, you're 100% correct. On an everyday basis, they're not making noise.
Exactly. So eventually, the talent is going to go elsewhere because, hey, bro, I got to get on the biggest stage so I can get it to the league. That's the way these things work. So, I mean, if you're not bringing in enough talent, that means you're eventually not going to bring in enough revenue. And if you don't bring in enough revenue, school's going to leave. That's just the way it is. Like, they've made noise in basketball, but football money is just too much. It's too much to resist. So, I mean, I don't love it, but I understand.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, realistically, I understand it from a opportunity standpoint. I do. The problem that I have with it is it's the continuity of the rest of college football at the expense of what you're trying to do to a league in which you're not really going to it's not guaranteed you coming in there and going on top. And obviously it takes time, but between the strain that it'll put on all of your athletics, USC having to travel. Like, you got to think about it, bro. Unless they host homestands, the closest team is fucking Michigan. That's insane. And I understand it, but realistically, bro, anybody knows anything about traveling for sports, especially for young folks, but that puts them at a terrible disadvantage. An absolute terrible disadvantage. So I don't know. I just don't agree with it. I prefer my conferences a little more aligned in the regions than I do just a clusterfuck. Because it's like you're essentially trying to make the whole season fit like a bowl season schedule. And that just ain't how football or how college athletics works.
Right. No, I agree 100%.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So let's get into this.
So that
season.
Happens.
They still got
so
one season happens. To play.
Well, no. We got a lot more to get to now. That happens. And then during this past offseason, the second domino was, as you stated earlier, Oregon and Washington leaving for the Big 12, for the Big Ten as well. And then, right after, Oregon and Washington leaving for the Big Ten. And then Arizona State, and Utah going to the Big 12. And then Colorado announced its decision to go to the Big 12 as well after the 2023-24 season, which will be this season. So, you know, here we are staring at each other and wondering, how did the Big 12 or the Pac-12 implode as it did so quickly? And we're going to get to who should win the Pac-12, kind of pick out a couple teams, talk about what they can or cannot do, but what the fuck is going on? And what is the next conference to have to implode like this?
I don't think another one is going to implode to this level. We talked, you know, previously, Florida State, it would cost them a lot of money to get out of ACC. And we should save that for when we get into the ACC.
I was saying, we'll get to the ACC, but just put a pin in that we'll need to talk about that.
I really don't think any other conference is going to implode the way the Pac-12 has, especially so quickly.
Okay.
There's only five major conferences: the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. All added people. The only one that's on the outside, kind of shaking their boots right now, is the ACC. The Pac-12's done. So I don't think there's really room for any other conferences to really implode. The big question, and it's a question that'll be answered 20, 25 years from now, is how long will these, you know what I'm saying, three or four major, or if it gets down to three, you know what I'm saying, depending on what happens with the ACC in the next 5 to 10 years, but how long will it last like that, you know what I'm saying? But that's something that you really can't get into too much right now, you know what I'm saying?
You can't, but, you know, just listening back to what we were speaking on, TV money has fucked up a lot of things, but I will say this. I will ask this. What do you think when we look at who's left in the Pac-12? What should Stanford, Utah State? No, I'm sorry. Who the hell else is left? Oregon State. Pac-12 teams. Let me see who's left after this. Cal and Washington State. Where the hell should they go? Cal, Washington State, Washington, and Cal, Washington State. I'm sorry, Oregon State, and that's it. In Stanford, where should they go? Like, honestly.
Merge with the West.
A school like and Stanford, the Mountain West. I feel like they should jump into the Mountain West or Cal, really all of them. They're not, I mean, the thing about it is, it's not like you can just go join a conference. A conference has to want to split that money with you. And why the fuck would I want to split money with Cal? What are they bringing to the table? Nobody watches your games. You don't win shit. The last great player you had might have been DeSean Jackson.
Or Aaron Rodgers, whatever. That's what they were saying.
I think Aaron Rodgers before DeSean.
No, they all him, Aaron Rodgers, DeSean, and
Marshawn on the same team.
Marshawn on the same team, yeah.
Well, that was the last time you had a decent team and y'all didn't win. So it's like, honestly, those four teams, Oregon State's not going to win it. They go to the Mountain West, dominate out there, and prove, you know what I'm saying, that.
I think they might merge, though.
Merge with who?
Merge the Mountain West with the WAC and try to put it on.
Oh, yeah, create a super battle conference like that and maybe try to make that into a Power 5 conference, but they'd be so garbage. It'd be the same situation the Pac-12 is in now, except for the fact that none of those schools there are good, so they probably wouldn't argue about the money.
True, and then if you still, as long as you got a couple talented, you know, fan bases and stuff to kind of keep you afloat, I think that 10, 15 years down the line, I mean, there's still going to be some West Coast kids that want to stay home and don't want to travel. Because, you know, in 5 or 6 years after this, you're going to hear a lot of complaints about the travel of college and everything else. So, or they might just turn them into a basketball conference like the Big East did.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Dale. I think they should either, that honestly, the Mountain West and the WAC should probably come together and form some kind of super conference or try to save the Pac-12. Because here's the thing, right? If you do that, it gets you better TV deals. It gets you better exposure. And teams like Boise State, who were really good teams for like 10 years, or even Hawaii, who was a good team for about 4 or 5 years, would have the opportunity to get some of those benefits when we saw them be borderline teams before. Like Boise State had a hell of a run. Hell, they had a cover athlete on the cover of College Football. Like, what was it, Kellen Moore was on the cover of College Football, what was that, 2009?
No, that was it was a Boise State quarterback. No, it wasn't Kellen Moore. It was like Zabrowski or some shit.
Whomever it was.
Because Kellen Moore, I think, was still in college in 2009.
Whomever it was. They had, that's how good they were. And that may not sound like nothing to y'all, but when you have literally the Madden of college football and your quarterback from your, like, Tebow was on the cover the year prior. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys who were like,
oh, I mean, but they proved that on the field. You know what I'm saying? When they beat
They did. And that's what I'm saying. So when you put them in a conference where, you know, they can maybe be able to, because it's bad business for college football.
The thing is, it doesn't matter what conference they go to or whether a bunch of shitty teams join together. We know for a fact Boise State can't really compete with anybody. Even if you take realignment out of it, anybody who's currently in the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, or the SEC at this point right now would probably beat the shit out Boise State. So it's like, and that's what I'm saying about these schools. They should join, not because it's going to make it competitive, but just because there at least be something to sell.
Well, I think it'll be competitive, too, because you got to sell competition.
Are you out of your mind, Earl?
Why not?
Why do you think Mountain West teams don't make it to the playoff now?
Because here's what
they don't have they're not a power five.
They don't have the backing. But if they were matched up and got some,
listen,
what I'm saying.
Anyway,
no, of course they.
Cincinnati got out the American because they had a talented team. They had to go.
I understand. I understand it, but think of how many years think of what all had to happen for Cincinnati to get that four seed. You remember that? Literally every like. There was no other undefeated team.
What do you think would have to happen for Boise State to get there?
That's my point. If they join together and become new Power Five.
Bro, here's what I'm telling you, bro. There's no who you're just putting teams together that wouldn't get there if they were separate. That doesn't make a difference.
I get that, but here's why I say the difference. One, the playoffs are expanding to 12 teams?
Right. So that helps. That helps them, but
right,
together. To me, that doesn't make you because I think.
Well, it does for television.
Huh?
It does for television.
I think Power Five. Some of that has to do with money as well. Like you have to have a certain amount of money in your program in your conference to be called a power conference. That's why there's only five of them. That's an opinion. That's 100% opinion. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying I would think so because. All of the schools in there are school or in Power Five conferences are schools that have money.
I feel you. Now I know that I'm taking a hit on historical, and I understand that historically is the reason why they're there. I get it, but the Big 12 wasn't shit either, nor the ACC for a while. They just had a team that could compete, but overall, you put any of them other teams in either the Big 12 or the ACC in those years where Bama was running shit. They wasn't getting the fuck out of there either. So what's the difference? It's just on the West Coast, and we have to get up 3 hours earlier or later to watch it. Ain't no different. What is the difference between a Boise State and what's the difference between a Boise State that competes for a New Year's Six Bowl and a Michigan State, which they end up going in there and playing and usually beating every year? What's the difference? They just play in an older, more traditional style.
I don't watch Michigan State either.
No, I get that. I get that, it's bigger than what we watch, especially when it expands to a 12 game playoff or 12 teams playoff.
I watch the playoffs because it's the playoff period. But there's certain teams. At the end of the day, Michigan State, they're probably more. What I'm saying is, yes, in a perfect world, if Boise State has a team that goes undefeated and shit like that. They probably, you know what I'm saying, backdoor their way in like Cincinnati did. But to me, joining a conference with Cal and Stanford does not put you on any sort of status. Like, let's say a team like Cincinnati or UCF, them joining the Big 12 gives them a little bit more push to where, now, if they win that conference, they go into the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Even though Texas left, even though Oklahoma's left, you still got the TCUs, you still got the Oklahoma States, you still got... teams where you can say the Baylors, there's competition out here. You know what I'm saying? If you beat the shit out of Cal and Oregon State and Stanford, I mean, no.
I mean, that's also taken away from the fact that they could get better too. You know what I mean? Like, especially as things are happening now.
So good, and we know it doesn't go like that.
It's been going like that a lot more now than it has before. if you look at it for real, a lot of the more traditional old school teams that always compete, with the exception of your Bamas and Georgias and stuff like that, the talent's kind of been spreading out. We've been seeing more newer teams or teams that didn't have opportunities before get opportunities. Clemson wasn't shit for a while. For a long while, and then all of a sudden, people started migrating there. If you go out there and build a program,
but you have
I understand it, but what I'm saying is, when you put yourself in position to win, that's when it happens. Clemson was like a 0-1 team.
No 5 stars going to any of these schools.
Now they're not.
Now, listen, y'all have me on record saying, I guarantee that none of these schools that y'all are referencing will land any 5 or 4-star players in the next 15 years.
I don't agree with that at all.
A hell of schools can get a 5-star.
Let's go through Cal's recruiting class right now.
Yeah, you're saying right now. What I'm saying is,
bro,
if they come together and have it.
Listen, here's what I'm saying, bro. Here's the difference. Clemson just became Clemson, but Clemson's been pulling in 5 stars for forever.
True.
They just didn't have it together with the coaching. A lot, just like Georgia. Georgia wasn't great under Mark Rick. They were 10-2. They never won a natty, but they were still getting dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Even when Miami
was on the slump, you would get your occasional 5-star player.
But here's my pushback to that. As the athletes are getting better nationwide, generational wide, they have to play somewhere. So,
bro, and what I'm saying is, there's a lot more places than what y'all are thinking, bro. Penn State
is gonna get
5 stars before a Cal gets a 5-star. Ohio,
I'll give you that.
There's enough schools, and each school has 85 scholarships. There's only usually, at the absolute max, 35 stars a year, maybe 74 stars. So if everybody got in, some schools are getting pulling 3 of them, some schools are pulling 2 of them. It's not as is the overall. Is there a lot more probably kids that play sports and all that and social media? Do you see a lot more just in general kids that are good at football? Yeah, but those real dudes, bro, they're still going to the same 7 schools.
I mean, in my opinion, as the coaching trees expand more, you have more qualified guys who can lead
programs. Now we're talking, Earl.
Listen to what I'm saying. You got to listen, bro. As these things happen, as the players do get better, as there's more players and there are spots, then there are schools, or there's more coaches than there are schools to coach at. You're going to have things happen. Like truth be told, bro, let's say that Deion ends up being a phenomenal coach, right? He dominated.
He is a phenomenal coach.
I think, but I'm saying at this level, let's say he ends up being that, right? Which I think he will.
And by the way, I was wrong. Cal does have 1 4-star recruit on their roster, but he's not even ranked nationally. So fuck that.
Yeah, but it's
no. But what like you said Dallas, was a 4 or 5-star. Like yeah, that's also another thing is why they really are bad at athletics, because it's very hard to get. Not bad at athletics, but they're bad because it's hard to get in there. Yes, absolutely. But what I'm saying is this: as those things happen, right, and coaches start recruiting more. Like for instance, bruh, Gus Malzahn literally was in the national. He got a natty. He was a coach for Auburn when Cam Newton was there, right?
No, he wasn't. That was he was a coach. He was the offensive coordinator, but that was Gene Chizik.
Okay, I'm sorry. He was at Auburn. He took them.
He was against Florida State. Yeah,
against Florida State. Yeah, he took them against Florida State. He's at fucking UCF now. You know how that happened? Because Scott Frost, a guy who couldn't get an opportunity at a bigger school, got an opportunity at a smaller school and ran it up. And then now a guy like Gene Chizik comes in and is getting 5 stars of flipping guys and stuff like that. As that happens more, things expand more, it will eventually hit those other conferences, especially when you talk about conferences of places like Colorado's a situation, right? even if Deion didn't take it, Colorado was a gold mine. You know why? Because if there's one thing that kids love, it's free shit and it's the latest shit. Colorado is right under the type of school that Oregon is for Nike being a tester school for all their elite.
But my thing is this, E.
How they didn't have that kind of athlete going out there.
Nigga, these schools didn't just move, bro. They've been.
No, for sure, for sure. I'm with you.
So, nigga, Cortland's not going to Colorado if Deion's not there.
Of course not. They were a one win team last year. That's what I'm saying, bro. That's why I said they were a diamond in the rough. If anybody knew that.
These kids are getting recruited. And then also comes into play NIL money, bro. If you're not making money from your football program, you don't have money to spend on your football program unless you go and do what Miami's doing. But the difference between Miami and these other schools, we have a history and a fan base that misses us being great. These other schools that we're talking about don't have a history of being great, and their fan bases probably could care less about football in reality. So their schools are not going to be willing to go spend the type of money that it got to get a Mario Cristobal to try to get your program out of the dumps, to consider building a $120 million football facility, things that attract kids to the schools. These schools have to be willing to pay for. You know what I'm saying? I think when you don't have a history of winning, at the end of the day, you'll look at it as we still profit from our football team in by tens of millions of dollars, and for us, that might be good enough. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Until it has to be when the upper leadership starts to care about the program. We've seen it from even programs with histories of being good. Look at Alabama. They probably were going off this, not the same facilities, but they damn sure weren't upgrading like shit like they were then until they finally found a coach. And since they had a history of winning, they're about to go all the fuck in. But when you don't have that history, I feel like you're going to have to find a diamond in the rough as far as finding that new coach and that guy who was under the radar. And now he took your team to the highest of heights. And now because of where y'all are at, you don't want to go back to the dump. So now you're willing to invest. But I think these schools have to get those home run hires before we even consider talking about them doing anything.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you on that because I do think that's part of the process.
Want to say it's impossible. It's not, because you just have to hire the right guy, but you have to hire that guy first.
Okay.
If Kirby Smart was a cow, they would be in the Natty next year.
This brings you back to my original point.
Relax about
the Natty. I'm talking about Dell. I'm saying if he would have left Alabama at the time he left Alabama, by now Cal would have been built.
I'll put it to you like this. The reason that I say come together and it could happen, and I'm not saying that I'm the end-all be-all on this conversation. I'm just getting my point out there. The reason I'm saying they come together and do it, it's still wild to see that it's fucking sunny over in Seattle right now. Like, they out there, it's sunny. But either way, the reason I say that is because if they come together, that brings a new television deal. With a new TV deal, that brings in more money, which now you can go hire those guys. So it's all a process. It's a step-by-step-by-step process. You bring in the guys you talk about. It's all in one. Like, I'm with you. It's just coming together to bring the money together, to pull the money together, to make it make sense, is what's going to get there. It's not going to get there because people feel like, oh, man, I have a passion to raise something out of nothing. No, motherfuckers want to get paid today. This NIL money going around. These coaches are being paid now more than they ever have been before. Yeah, you're going to have to get some money out of somewhere. If you get them TV deals, that's what'll do it. So if they come together and get those TV deals, you know what I'm saying, then that's what it is. So that's why I say they should overall. That's really what I was getting at from jump. I just was laying out the pieces in different ways. But, you know,
they get together because it'll make their jobs more attractive, then I could agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, they need to come together. I'm not saying they need to come together. When I say forming a power conference, bro, at the end of the day, this shit is all about money. At the end of the day, the SEC brings in money. You know what I'm saying? The ACC brings in money. The Big 12 brings in money. And that's why I think the Big 12 is going to take a bigger hit than they think, losing Texas and Oklahoma, because those are billion-dollar programs in themselves alone.
It depends on what happens. Now, obviously, yes, you're 100% correct. Losing, anytime you lose Texas, which is the highest revenue generating, you know what I'm saying, sports program in America, and you lose to Oklahoma, that's definitely hurts. But, you know what I'm saying, if Gus Malzahn continues doing what he's doing, building up, you know what I'm saying, UCF, and they end up a national powerhouse, if Deion can continue to build up Colorado, and they, you're bringing in teams that are going to be competing as well. And it's the competition and the winning that drives the revenue and the money up. So they're, even though it hurt, the fact that they're adding, what is it, four or five teams to the two they lost, that's what's going to help. Now, if they try to go 2-for-2, that would be abysmal. But the fact that they're adding 5+ teams, two of which are looking like they're on the rise, and then you have a very competitive, you know what I'm saying, perennially competitive team in Utah, then they're kind of like, all right, it's going to hurt, but it won't hurt as bad as it could have. You know what I'm saying? I think that's how you kind of have to look at it at certain standpoints when you're in these situations, because Texas and Oklahoma are leaving regardless. It's similar to when teams have a free agent, I mean, have a guy on a contract and he's a free agent next year. Well, you're going to lose him. He doesn't want to play here. But how can you make it hurt less? You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with this. You're going to lose Texas. You're going to lose Oklahoma. What can we do to kind of hedge our bet? You know what I'm saying? Make sure we still win something at the end. And I think whoever's running the Big 12 did a very good job with the teams that they did add, especially with, you know what I'm saying, I'm pretty sure they wanted to add a team like a USC or even a big name school. Who else went to the Big Ten? Fuck. Any one of those schools. They probably would have
UCLA, Oregon, and Washington.
Oregon. They would have definitely wanted to land on Oregon. Could you imagine Oregon, Oklahoma State every year, Oregon, TCU every year? You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure that was on their radar, but since it didn't happen, and now you see what, you know what I'm saying, these other teams are doing, hey, TCU, Colorado might end up a great first game of the season. It might be a good rivalry moving forward. UCF might look great, you know what I'm saying, going up against Baylor year in and year out. You know what I'm saying? And then before they flopped, Kansas was trying to start to build a little bit. So they might be somebody who, you know what I'm saying, kind of throws jabs at other teams throughout the season. You still got Kansas State out there. You know what I'm saying? And we'll get into the Big 12, but there's a lot, you know what I'm saying, for the Big 12 to look forward to as far as what they have had. That's still there and what they've brought in. So they're not doing as bad as, you know what I'm saying, people are making it seem.
No, for sure. But let's go there. Let's stay over where you started, all right. Colorado. This is the case, we talked about it earlier in the episode, where certain teams could either be last place or middle of the pack, and that's kind of where I have Colorado. Nar, do you have the schedule pulled up?
Give me 2 seconds. I got it, bro.
Well, while we're waiting for that, I want to thank all of the all of our listeners again for tapping in with us for our college preview show, man. For our football preview shows in general, we really, 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 really appreciate y'all tapping in with us, man. Y'all don't know how excited we are to have the Alpha Sport back.
Facts.
We're really excited for
it. Yeah, I know Dell is a 100% hater on all preseason sports, period. But,
very much so.
But, Dell, you got to at least be – turn it. Just don't watch it. Just listen to the pads crash, bro. You got to be happy. For real, bro.
I'll at least cut it on YouTube.
You feel me?
On the highlights, all right, on YouTube.
Yeah, I got it up. So, first game of the season, they are at TCU. Yeah, I think that's a good way. So let's go win-loss, because there's a lot of teams.
Oh, it's yeah, for sure. Let's do it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thinking of a letter. It's between
all right, now here's
N and O.
We're gonna predict the
or it's between K and M.
We're going to predict the their record, because there's three of us. So it'll always majority wins. You know what I'm saying? It'll either always be 2-1 or it'll be 3-0. And then,
well, I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be them majority of the time. I can tell you I'm talking about wins. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Let's get into it.
Now, hold on. Before we do that.
Yes, sir.
They are, let's just say where they're coming from. They are coming off of a 1-win record last year. And Deion is coming off of winning the SWAC. Coach,
can I ask you a question?
And they are completely new team. They're a completely new team.
Did Deion really need to come in there and tell them?
Multiple four-star players, multiple high-profile transfers. So they're a completely different team.
Hold on, Nart. Hold on.
Go ahead, Z.
Question to ask y'all. Did Deion really need to tell them that they need to hurry up and get in the transfer portal? Because if you go 1-11, does somebody need to tell you that your job is on the line?
Damn.
I'm just asking a question.
Well, that was a good one.
I'm serious. I mean, if you go 1-11, 1-12, whatever, you only have one win. Does the new coach really need to tell you to head to the transfer portal?
I feel you. No, I feel like, you know, when Deion's going to be Deion, and you got to accept what comes with, not us as media, but as Colorado who hired him, that's what he's going to do. You know what I'm saying? He's going to come and he's going to try to shake up the room in whatever way he feels like he's going to make it shake. And for a lot of those guys, I think it was more so a to see if they see how you see it. Damn, he going, well, what if, you know what I'm saying? Instead of, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to prove to him, you know, who I am, since he doesn't know me, even though it's my job to prove myself. People are always like, oh, I ain't got to prove myself. No, that's your job when you're a player, is to prove yourself every day, just like the same way it's a coach's job to prove himself every day. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you won't be doing it, you know what I'm saying, very long. It's just like even with us at the youth level, if we're not proving ourselves as coaches, you think parent, nigga, our practices are filled with parents. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the fathers are former, you know what I'm saying, guys who play football, you know what I'm saying, throughout their youth, and some of them in college and things of that nature. And a lot of the mothers have been around, you know what I'm saying, football for a long time. So they may not necessarily know the X's and O's, but they can tell when you're just yelling at a kid or you're actually trying to teach him something and stuff like that. So you still have to prove yourself at this level. So what you think it's like when you're getting paid, you know what I'm saying, millions of dollars? And I think that's just what his point of it was, is to kind of see who's willing to prove this up or who's willing to say, like, damn, he's arrogant. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be coached by him. You know, I just think that's more so what it was. More of a test than an actual, you know what I'm saying, you're some shit type of thing. At least that's how I would envision it to be. Because if it wasn't, then I couldn't fuck with that.
Well, I guess you don't fuck with it, because damn sure wasn't a test. guess you don't fuck with it, brother. It for sure wasn't a test. But that being said, let's go down the line.
So we already know what the first game is. How y'all going?
It's an ass whooping by TCU.
No.
I got TCU. All right, I got TCU plus. I got TCU probably plus 14.
Okay, well, they are 0-1. Next game, September 9th, they're going to Nebraska. I mean, excuse me, they're at home against Nebraska.
First win. Nebraska's,
Matt Rule's first year there, along with Deion's first year there. So it's a battle of two first-year head coaches. Not first-year head coaches, but at their respective schools.
Right.
Dale, you got Nebraska, Colorado.
Yuck.
Which one?
We all
both
lose.
Of them. Everybody loses. But I'll go with Colorado.
All right, 1-1, 1-1. Next game, they're home again against Colorado State. I'm going to go Colorado, obviously.
How many games Colorado State won last year?
Let's see.
Actually, no, they're not even a Pac-12 team, so it don't matter.
Yeah, they lost a lot, bro. They lost to Sacramento State last year.
Yeah, give me Colorado. So 2-1.
This is a hell.
I know. There's a point in this schedule where it gets ugly. Oh, it's going to get ugly. It gets ugly.
They're at Oregon, L. Home against USC, L. So now where are we at? Hold on.
Oh, that's 2-3.
0-1, 2-1, 2-2,
2-3.
Right now they're 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
All right.
Don't I know it?
Then they are at Arizona State.
That's
State's not a bad team. I feel like
they're not a bad team.
Colorado, though.
I'm not.
He said, I'm not. Dell, you're the deciding factor. You got Colorado or Arizona State?
I don't even know who Arizona State's coach is after Herm went, so I'm going to go with Colorado. I think he can turn them around, man, because, like, they know. Like, ain't no... Bruh. Ain't no second chances. He going to fire everybody. If you're a guy who stayed from last year, you on the shit list.
Damn, all
right.
All the teams you can beat, you going to try to. Try your hardest to.
All right, so that makes them 3-3. Then they are at Stanford. No, they're home against Stanford. Home against Stanford.
That's a win.
Dell?
They're home against who?
Stanford.
I'll go with a W since Stanford ain't what it used to be. But you never know.
All right, 4-3. This is a L at UCLA.
L.
L.
Heavy L. Big L.
UCLA coming in.
Big L,
UCLA coming in second or third.
They're going to get a full clip.
All right, so they 4-4. Home against Oregon State. That's an L. Oregon State liked that last year.
Well, I know. L against Oregon.
All right, 4-5. I think this will probably be a win. They're home against Arizona. Arizona did. Oh, no, that Arizona State game, that's interesting because remember, I don't know who their coach is, but Arizona State got that five-star quarterback that committed to Miami but left, and then he committed to Florida, and then he left, and then he went to Arizona State. And he was pretty like that.
Their head coach is Kenny Dillingham.
So that'll still be interesting. I think they're going to win it, but that'll be interesting. So Arizona, win or loss, fellas?
Arizona win or loss. I'll go with a loss.
Yeah, I think I'm comfortable with a loss.
4-6. 4-6. Then they're at Washington State.
That's a win.
I got a win too. 5-6. Mm-hmm. Then this is a L. Then they're
They're 5-7, brother. They're not bowl eligible.
Who's the last team they're going against?
Utah. At Utah.
Air raid offense going to air them boys out.
Damn. So guessing from the stands prediction has Colorado at 5-7.
Now, for any other situation that they weren't coming from one win last year, a 4-win improvement is incredible. It is incredible.
No, for sure.
But just when you're coming from one win, you still can't make like bowl. Like they can't get in the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. They're not going to the Bahamas Bowl. They ain't going to the Syracuse Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, Cereal Bowl.
They ain't going to shit.
That all bowl right off of ATL. what other bowl?
This is so crazy because none of these schools are really gonna do shit. Like
shit, me. Yes, they are. And see, that's why I was leading the talking to the Pac-12 because you know, look, man, I get it. You're an SEC life, Renard. So let me tell you something about the Pac-12, brother. Tell you something about the Pac-12.
It comes on late.
So what? I didn't ask you that.
No, I was telling you something about the Pac-12. There's really nothing else.
Let me tell you something about the Pac-12, brother. All right, you respect the Pac-12. Now we got the most polarizing coach out of the Pac-12 out the way. Let's get to the second most polarizing coach out of the way in the Pac-12, and that'd be one Chip Kelly.
And his UCLA schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to UCLA. Now, UCLA as of last year. Pardon me, listeners. UCLA was hold tight. Give me one second. I got to pull up their schedule from last year. My apologies, y'all. The Fox
UCLA's Sports funny as shit, bro. on there. Hey, because Colorado didn't do this, but on their schedule, on their school page, they scheduled the Pac-12 championship games, this game on their schedule.
As they should. You know why? Because they are going to the Pac-12 championship.
No, ooh, UCLA.
Let's go through their schedule.
Right, let's get to it.
Game one is clearly a win. They're going up against Coastal Carolina. Their first three games are wins. I'm just going to say this.
Mm-hmm. So that,
I don't know. Coastal Carolina was good a few years.
Okay. So,
Dell.
All right.
Dell.
So the first three games are wins there. Versus Coastal Carolina, at San Diego State, versus North Carolina Central. So all three of those are wins. First real test comes after North Carolina Central. They are at Utah.
That's an L.
All right, so we got them.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah. Zendel Meeks.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about UCLA at Utah?
UCLA at Utah. I'm going to go with the Utes.
Okay, both you and Earl say it's an L. So we have them at 3-1. Then they are home against Washington.
This is a dub.
Yep, that's a win.
I ain't gotta question it. They beating the shit out of Wazoo.
All right. So that puts them at 4-1. Then they're at Oregon State. Remember, Oregon State was good last year.
They were good, but this is a dub. They were good.
You never know, but it's probably a dub. I don't like it.
All right, 5-1. Then there, I feel like this is a win at Stanford.
Oh, this is definitely a win. Stanford may be the new one-win team in the Pac-12.
All right, so 6-1. Then they are home against Colorado.
All right, this is where I have a dub. It'll be a good game, but I have a dub.
Dell?
Yes.
Home against Colorado?
Home against Colorado. You say UCLA, right? UCLA,
yes.
Let's go UCLA.
Okay, so we have them at 7-1. Then they are at Arizona. That's probably 8-1.
I have another win.
Yes, 8-1. Home against Arizona State.
I have a loss.
Ooh. Dell?
They're good for a stupid loss, and this is the stupid loss.
Nah, they'll be Arizona State. I understand people can be stupid, but it's only so much.
Here's why I can't be with Earl. It's the next game on their schedule. I feel like being 8-1 to this point, they can overlook Arizona State because their next game is at USC.
Mm-hmm.
So that
obviously they share the same stadium, but
that is the trip up game.
Ain't no trip up game for USC.
So I'm gonna say that's an L. That was at 8-2. Going up, like you said, same stadium, so it'll probably be split against USC.
Oh, I got them losing to USC. I got SC going to the playoffs this year.
I agree. 8-3. Last game of the season is against Cal. That's a
they'll win. Beat the shit out of Cal. That's 9-3.
All right. 9-3.
And then they'll they're in the same division as USC, so they can't get to the Pac-12 championship. Well, hey man, they'll still have a good season.
All right, 9-3. Who you wanna roll with next?
Let's go to Utah.
Utah, the Utes.
The Utes.
All right, Utah's 2023. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's decent. And they had a game they should have won against Florida last year, but this year Florida travels to Utah, and I think they're gonna get their get back.
So you got
they damn near almost killed Caleb Williams. So
I know
who you got down Florida, Utah. Game. Earl says Utah.
It's Utah, bro.
Utah, all right. Utah starting out 1-0. Then they're traveling down to Texas. They're going to see Baylor. Who y'all like?
I like Utah.
Utah.
2-0. Utah's 2-0 out of Waco. Utah's 3-0. They went up against Weber State. They're going to beat their ass.
They're going to beat their ass and send them home in a damn Dame Lillard jersey.
Utah's 4-0. We already said they're going to beat UCLA.
They are.
At Oregon State.
They're going to beat the shit out of them.
They are going to beat the shit out of them, too. They are 5-0. Versus Cal, they're probably going to beat
the shit out of them. They're going to beat the shit out of California.
That's 6-0. They're going to – this is an L. They're at USC.
Oh, I don't know. It was a very close game last year. It was a one-point game.
It was.
Right now, I'm going to give the edge to SC. I think they avenged that stupid loss last year. But I wouldn't be shocked. So put an asterisk. I'm going to go with SC. But put an asterisk. This puts them at – this is their only loss.
I agree with you. I think this is an L, too. But I'm going to take away the asterisk. I think – with that receiver, Zachariah Branch, I truly think that he's gonna be one of those freshmen that's different. You know what I'm saying?
No. I'm only putting the asterisk because I could see it going either way.
No, I know fact. But I think UCLA may dominate this game. It depends on how it starts. If they both start out fast, then it'll probably go how you're saying. But if USC can play some defense and then they're coming out, you know what I'm saying? Then it could get real spicy. But I'm gonna say this is a L as well. So we have them at 6-1 after they lost to USC. Then they're home against Oregon.
Give me the Utes.
Down.
The Utes.
Okay. So we have them 7-1 after Oregon. This is going to be a win. They're home against Arizona State.
So Arizona State? It's a win.
Arizona State being Utah and UCLA.
No, give me the Utes pretty much through.
All right, so we got them at 8-1 going into the Washington game.
Give me Utah.
Damn.
Give me Utah.
Utah at Washington.
Utah at Washington?
Yes.
Come on, man. They're going to run them up. They're going to have mercy rule in that.
All right, so we got them going 9-1 after the Washington game.
Correct.
At Arizona, 10-1.
That's 10-1.
Versus Colorado.
Oh, that's 11-1, bro.
11-1 possible playoff, depending on how that Pac-12 championship goes.
Yes, 11-1 to the Pac-12 championship versus USC, who's also going to come in at 11-1.
All right, where are we going next?
USC.
Ooh.
And then we'll wrap up with Oregon.
The USC Trojans. Now,
let's do it.
Games 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to name them, but I'm just going to stop when I stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I'm going to stop at 6 because that next one could be a toss up, and we'll talk about that one. But those, our first 6 games are wins. They have San Jose Nevada, Stanford, Arizona State, Colorado, and Arizona.
Those are all dubs.
They're at Notre Dame.
Okay.
In South Bend.
Did I pick Utah to beat USC?
No, that was their only loss on the schedule.
Okay. This is USC's loss.
Ooh. You got them going to South Bend and losing?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dale, how you feel?
Well, actually, hold on.
No.
Hold on. I retract that. No, I don't. No, this isn't their loss.
Okay, so both of y'all say win.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, so that puts them at 7-0, 8-0, because we said Utah is going to beat them.
We said they're going to beat Utah.
I mean, they're going to beat Utah. Excuse me.
Correct.
So, bro, they're probably going to win. They're probably going to go 12-0. I mean, they have Cal, Washington. Oh, no, it gets interesting. All right, so we'll say Cal and Washington are both wins. That puts them at 2-0. They're at Oregon.
That's where a potential loss comes in.
I like it. I like it.
That's where a potential loss comes in.
So put them at 10-1. Then they're home against UCLA. Yo.
Yo.
USC is home against UCLA.
Again, that's the toss up. Did I pick them to be? Yeah, I see. I said UCLA was going to beat them. So yeah, I mean, I said they were going to beat UCLA. So yeah.
So that puts them and Utah both at 11-1.
Yes. Now Oregon's schedule, because that's the outlier. I got to see what happens with that to make sure we're going to get this Utah versus USC matchup in the Pac-12 championship.
Well, let's get to it.
All right, and this will be our closeout.
The Oregon Ducks.
Yes, sir.
Start out with Portland State. That'll be
Phil Knights.
That'll be a win.
Okay.
Then they are
going to Texas Tech.
Yeah, they're at Texas Tech.
That should be a win. I don't see why not.
Home against Hawaii, excuse me.
That's a win.
What?
3-0.
That's a win.
4-0.
That's a win in some Air Max.
5.
That's a fucking win. Matter of fact, they might beat them so bad, Dion might leave Nike again and go back to Under Armour again.
Damn, that's crazy.
So we got them at 4-0. Next game in Stanford, California, at Stanford.
Oh, that's a win. It doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck where they play. They can play in Orlando. That's a win.
5-0. Seattle, Washington. They're at Washington.
That's a win, but it should be a good game.
6-0. Home against Oregon.
Home against
Washington. Excuse me.
I said we watched the spring game. Washington State. Yeah, that's a win. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I said Utah was going to go 11-1. Who did I have beating Utah?
USC. So you got to take the L here.
Yeah, got to take the L here.
All right, so that puts them at 7-1.
Yep.
8-1 because they're going to beat Cal. Mm-hmm. 8-2, they're losing to USC. We already picked it.
Yep.
Or 9-2. No, 8-2. Yeah, 8-2. Excuse me, I'm tripping.
Yep.
Home against Arizona State.
That's a win.
No, they're at Arizona State. Excuse me.
That's a win. Doesn't matter. It's a win.
9-2.
And then they're going to beat the shit out of them Beavers.
So
they'll beat the shit out of them.
So that means 10-2. That means USC and, as we pick it, USC and Utah will meet for the Pac-12 championship. We'll go around the room and pick a winner. Dell.
SC.
USC.
Yeah.
USC and Utah Pac-12 championship. Winner goes to the playoff. Who do you have?
Same as it ever was. Utah.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay. I'm going SC. I got SC going to the playoffs this year.
I got Earl being.
I have to agree with Earl. I feel like at a certain point, talent is going to take over on both sides.
Well, they talented in the motherfucker up in Utah.
Between the white lines, but on the side of the white lines. I think they
may
be one of the best coaches in college football right now, especially
offensively, yes.
That's what I was saying, though. But it's different when you're a head coach. You know what I'm saying? Because you control a lot more. You're more than just an offensive coordinator. So it's like your imprint is over the whole program. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even though he's not a defensive guy, guys will still want to come play for him. Like when you look at a guy like Bear Alexander, 5-star defensive tackle last year, won the national championship with Georgia, transfers to USC. You know what I'm saying? So that's right. Talent. That's depth. That they're now acquiring. and defensive guys don't care that you that it's an offensive school. That shit don't matter to them. Only people who really care is people on the offensive side of the ball, what style of offense you're running, whether it's passing or running. Defense
is not going
to play defense. You know what I'm saying? That's up to – now, they care if you're recruiting other guys that they're going to play with, but the offense don't matter to them because they play defense and they have to see the field too. You know what I'm saying? We've seen plenty of teams have dominant offenses and dominant defenses. You know what I'm saying? So
that's a fact.
I like USC. I'm not going to lie. I like them to get to the playoffs. I think they're going to lose in the first round. We'll get to the other conference.
Yeah, I ain't get to all that. I just said I got you.
But yeah.
I ain't get to
all that. Hey, listen. For the listeners out there, that's who we have for the Pac-12. Now, we didn't do the championship like the other ones. There's no – excuse me. There's no majority wins. Me and Earl think USC is going to win. Dell thinks Utah is going to win the conference. So we just got to see what happens with that. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely – going to be one hell of a last ride for the Pac-12.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be a hell of a championship game,
that's
too.
The name of this episode, The Last Ride.
There you go.
Hey, yeah. you gotta put the whatever wrestler, whoever that move was, he's got to be the cover.
All right, I'm gonna put the Undertaker top. Doing the last ride in a Pac-12.
Yes, bro. Tank top. Yes, bro.
Hey. Hey, you know I'm about to get creative with this cover too.
You have to.
That being said, man, it's been a hell of a week. You know it. It's football season though, man. So y'all know what we do. Y'all know what we here to do. Shoot, man. I ain't got nothing else. Till next week. We out.
Peace.